Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I'm Sam Lingwoy, and I'm ready to really get into the source material you shared with us today. It looks at, well, a really critical intersection of cybersecurity and federal mission assurance.
And I'm Taylor Thakkar. Yes, our focus today is absolutely crystal clear. We're doing a, let's say, an exhaustive, really granular deep dive into a question with incredibly high stakes. Why U.S. federal agencies need to adopt qualies to secure and accelerate speed to mission.
That is a pretty hefty mission statement for us, but honestly, it feels completely justified when you look at the stakes involved in our research. We're not just talking about, you know, making things a bit more efficient.
No, not at all.
This is about national security, the effective operation of the government itself. And the sources we looked at, they paint a really stark picture. It seems like the current way of doing things, this sort of fragmented status quo, it's failing.
It absolutely is failing. I mean, if you just look at the raw numbers, the data itself, it's frankly a terrifying trend line. Data breaches, especially against federal targets and critical infrastructure, they've shot up by a staggering 72% in just the last 2 years.
72%. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that single metric tells you pretty much everything you need to know. The current defense posture, it needs a radical overhaul. It's not working.
And then there's the time it takes. The average time to even detect and then contain one of these breaches, our sources put it at 277 days. That's across the public sector.
277 days.
It means agencies are, you know, unknowingly exposed for almost 9 months, almost a full year on average. It's hard to even imagine running a strategic mission to effectively add speed when you've got such a massive fundamental blind spot like that.
Well, it's functionally impossible, really. The conversation absolutely has to shift, and shift immediately, from just tactical compliance, you know, the endless checklist, to actual strategic risk reduction. Our sources confirmed it again and again. Current processes are too manual, they're siloed, and they're simply far too slow to meet the challenge posed by modern adversaries.
Adversaries who are sophisticated and often automated themselves.
Exactly. Machine speed attacks versus manual defense. It's not a fair fight.
Okay, so let's unpack this needed shift. Let's start by looking at the complex web, really, of federal policies and executive mandates that are essentially forcing agencies to modernize right now. This feels like a very top-down push for consolidation and, crucially, for speed.
That's precisely right. This isn't really optional modernization. It's being driven by this powerful confluence of policies. And the foundation, the real cornerstone, is Executive Order 14028. It was issued back in 2021, and it formally establishes Zero Trust, or ZT, as the guiding cybersecurity philosophy for the entire federal government.
Now, when we talk about Zero Trust, it's not just a concept, right? It's not just an idea floating around. The EO laid down some very concrete operational requirements that demand specific technological capabilities.
Precisely. It wasn't just aspirational. The EO requires agencies to drastically improve prevention, detection, assessment, and remediation capabilities. So specifically, this means things like mandatory deployment of endpoint detection and response, or EDR tools.
Okay.
It means dramatically improving supply chain security, which includes generating things like software bills of materials, ESPMOMs, so you know what's inside your software.
Right, the ingredients list.
Exactly. And ensuring pervasive use of multi-factor authentication, MFA, and encryption, both for data at rest and data in transit. The core idea behind EO 14028 is really to eliminate that old model of implicit trust. You're inside the network, so you're okay. And instead, enforce security at every single access point, every time. But critically, to do that effectively, you need perfect visibility. You have to know what you're protecting.
And this strategic vision, Zero Trust, it immediately runs up against, you know, the decades-old governance structure. I'm thinking of FISMA and the NIST Risk Management Framework, the RMF.
Mm-hmm.
So if EO 14028 is the big strategic vision, how does that vision actually mesh functionally with this huge existing machinery of FISMA and the NIST RMF? Does it create friction?
Oh, it creates immense friction. And that friction becomes arguably the single biggest bottleneck to mission acceleration for agencies. Mm. You see, FISMA requires agencies to implement specific security controls, mostly from the NIST SP853 catalog.
Right.
And that framework demands continuous monitoring, yes, but also, critically, system authorization. That happens via the authority to operate, or ATO process,
yeah.
And the traditional ATO process. That's the real choke point.
By the infamous ATO.
Exactly. It's notoriously slow. It's incredibly manual, extremely document intensive, often driven by spreadsheets passed back and forth. It's just cumbersome.
So the bottleneck isn't necessarily the security control itself. but the process of gathering all the auditable evidence needed for the authorizing official, the AO, to sign off.
Precisely.
Which means every time an agency wants to deploy a new technology, a new capability, something that could actually help the mission, it often takes months, sometimes even over a year, just to get the ATO. Simply because collecting and formatting the evidence is this huge bureaucratic nightmare.
Exactly right. And that delay, that ATO delay, it directly chokes mission delivery. If you can't deploy modern capabilities quickly, you are structurally fundamentally disadvantaged against agile adversaries. And this is precisely where the newest mandate, OMB M2404, which is the FY24 FISMA guidance, comes into play. It's demanding immediate operational change to fix this.
Okay, so what specific measurable requirement does M2404 impose that really makes the current, you know, fragmented set of security tools kind of obsolete?
Well, it lays down a non-negotiable starting point for zero trust. M2404 explicitly calls for 100% asset visibility, and it defines asset very broadly, including every component. Traditional IT, cloud instances, IoT devices, and crucially, operational technology, OT systems.
So everything connected, no exceptions.
No exceptions. And it further mandates that vulnerability management must be based on a documented, risk-based approach, not just ticking compliance boxes based on CVSS scores.
Got it.
If you don't have that 100% visibility, you simply cannot implement effective zero trust policies, period. And you will fail your FISMA scorecard metrics. The challenge here is huge because, honestly, many agencies don't even have a full inventory of the systems they inherited years ago, let alone a real-time view of everything connecting to the network edge today. Think shadow IT, unmanaged devices.
Right. And then we have the big, long-running program that was actually designed to try and solve this continuous monitoring problem.
Yeah.
This is a continuous diagnostics and mitigation program, or CDM.
Yeah. CDM is essentially the operational arm trying to achieve that goal of continuous monitoring, identifying, and mitigating cyber risk on an ongoing basis. And this is actually where Qualys already holds a really significant strategic advantage. Our sources confirm Qualys is a major CDM provider already.
Interesting.
Yeah, back in 2021, they won a pretty significant contract to supply their platform to over 70 federal civilian executive branch agencies. This is known as Group F in CDM terms. And they're providing foundational capabilities like asset inventory, vulnerability assessment, configuration management, and even web application security testing for those agencies.
Okay, that existing federal footprint, that's crucial, isn't it? It means a huge chunk of the civilian government is already using or at least familiar with the Qualys platform for some core compliance tasks. Yeah. That has to make the path to broader, maybe enterprise-wide adoption significantly smoother compared to a competitor trying to come in cold.
It's a massive competitive differentiator, absolutely, because it directly addresses the complexities of federal procurement, the trust factor, the existing relationships. It demonstrates immediate compliance capability proven at scale within the government already.
Okay, let's pivot a bit from the policy drivers, important as they are, to the foundational technical crisis that these policies are, frankly, desperately trying to fix.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still stunning to me that unpatched software remains the number two attack vector in 2024. After all these years, decades even, we're still fundamentally losing the patching game.
We are absolutely losing the speed war. This is what our sources really highlight as the quantified defender disadvantage. Adversaries, they're moving at machine speed. Attackers take, on average, just 5.5 days to weaponize a vulnerability once it's publicly disclosed.
5.5 days?
That's it. They create the exploit code, they package it, they deploy it.
And what's the typical agency response time to patch that same vulnerability?
Agency remediation, on average, typically takes 10 days. Often much longer, actually, because of internal approval processes, change control board meetings, testing requirements, and honestly, just the fear of breaking mission-critical systems.
That creates a gap.
It creates a critical, structural 5-day window of exploitation, on average. That's 5 days where the adversary is actively ahead, exploiting known flaws that the agency is aware of but just hasn't managed to fix yet. This speed gap alone proves that the old ways, the manual, fragmented security and patching processes, they're simply obsolete. Agencies are structurally losing the fight before they even start unless they completely overhaul their patching strategy.
That context really brings us directly to the core of our deep dive today.
Hmm.
Why Qualys is positioning itself as this single unified solution that's capable of bridging that 5-day speed gap and meeting all these complex non-negotiable federal mandates we just discussed.
Right. And I think the key word you use there is unified. That's the core value proposition. They aim to solve the fragmentation problem that cripples both speed and visibility in most federal environments.
Before we jump into the specific capabilities, though, we have to start with trust. Because for any vendor to operate effectively in this high-stakes federal environment, especially when you're talking national security data, sensitive citizen data, they absolutely must have the gold standard certification, FedRAMP High authorization.
Yes, the significance of FedRAMP High really cannot be overstated, particularly when you're targeting what they call high-impact systems. Systems handling highly sensitive data like financial records, health information, or even classified national security information. Qualys has achieved this authorization. That means their platform meets over 400 incredibly stringent security controls defined in NIST 853 for the high baseline.
Okay, so beyond just the inherent trust that authorization provides, what's the practical competitive takeout benefit for an agency choosing a platform that's already FedRAMP High authorized?
The major tangible benefit is accelerating that painful ATO process we talked about earlier.
Mm.
Because the Qualys platform is already pre-vetted, pre-authorized at the high baseline, agencies using it can simply inherit hundreds of those security controls automatically into their own system security package.
Ah, inheritance, okay.
Yes, and this is a massive competitive advantage over vendors who might only hold FedRAMP moderate or perhaps no authorization at all for their full feature set, or maybe just for certain parts of their cloud offering. By inheriting these controls, agencies can literally cut their own system authorization time, that dreaded ATO, by up to 40%. That's huge. It completely transforms the authorization conversation from a painful manual evidence review into a much faster, more strategic adoption decision.
40% faster ATO. That's a number that gets attention. Okay, let's transition now and really map the specific Qualys solutions directly to those federal necessities we outlined, starting right at the beginning of the Zero Trust journey. Visibility. You can't protect what you can't see.
Exactly. And the foundational capability here, the one addressing that non-negotiable starting point for ZT, is their Cybersecurity Asset Management module, or CSAM. Often, this is combined with their External Attack Surface Management, or EASM, capabilities. This combination directly addresses CDM Phase 1, which is all about answering the question, what is on the network?
Right.
And critically, it satisfies that OMB M2404 demand for 100% visibility, including discovering and managing the notorious shadow IT, those devices connected without official approval.
The granular detail on how they achieve that discovery seems key, especially considering M2404 explicitly includes non-traditional IT, like IoT and OT. How does the Qualys platform actually provide this continuous 100% coverage across such diverse assets?
So the platform uses multiple discovery methods continuously. It uses lightweight agents for traditional IT endpoints and servers, performs network scanning, but crucially, it also leverages passive network sensors. These are vital for discovering unmanaged IoT and OT devices, things like smart building systems, HVAC controls, medical devices, industrial control system components. These passive sensors essentially listen to network traffic without actively probing or potentially disrupting the mission-critical availability of those sensitive OT systems.
So they see them without poking them.
Precisely. This ability to discover and inventory these previously invisible assets is what eliminates those dangerous blind spots and gets agencies towards that mandated 100% visibility.
And once discovered, CSAM generates what you call the source of truth. Why is having that single reliable source of truth so necessary for actually enforcing zero trust policies down the line?
Because every single zero trust decision, every access request, ultimately hinges on answering one fundamental question. Is this device authorized? Is it configured correctly? And is it secure right now? CSAM provides that real-time, continuous inventory and the associated context, like what software is running. Are there vulnerabilities? Is it compliant? You simply cannot enforce a security policy on a device you don't know exists, or if your information about its security status is hours or days old. This single unified source of truth becomes the foundation for what Qualys calls the ZT intelligence engine, which we can talk more about later.
Okay, so once we know what we own, the next logical step is active risk identification, finding the problems. And that's handled by their Vulnerability Management Detection and Response Module, or VMDR. This seems to address the continuous monitoring controls from FISMA and also the speed requirements baked into EO-14028.
Yes, VMDR is really the engine that executes on mandates like CISA BOD 2301, which requires biweekly scanning of federal assets. But honestly, the real game changer, the key differentiator in VMDR, is how Qualys handles prioritization. This is what cuts through the crippling noise of the modern vulnerability ecosystem.
Ah, yes, the noise. Our sources definitely describe this as the risk whack-a-mole problem, where agencies just feel completely overwhelmed. You run a vulnerability scanner and it flags, what, 80% or more of the findings as CVSS high or critical?
Easily, sometimes more.
And if everything is supposedly critical, then effectively nothing is truly critical. It's paralyzing.
It absolutely paralyzes security teams. They don't know where to start. The Qualys innovation here, the core of their prioritization, is the use of true risk scoring. This mechanism doesn't just rely on the static, often generic CVSS score assigned when a vulnerability is first discovered. Instead, it injects multiple layers of active threat intelligence, such as, is this specific vulnerability being actively exploited in the wild right now? Is there chatter on the dark web suggesting it's about to be used in campaigns? Is there a known piece of malware actively targeting it? Is a patch available? But maybe more importantly, is a mitigation available, even if a patch isn't?
Okay, so by applying all that real-world context, what happens to that huge, overwhelming 80% volume of findings initially flagged as critical?
It ruthlessly narrows the focus. By correlating the raw vulnerability data with all this external threat intelligence and also allowing agencies to factor in internal business context, like how critical is this asset to our mission, Qualys can confidently tell the agency that the crucial, actively exploitable risks, the ones that demand immediate attention, typically represent less than 5% of that initial flood of findings.
Less than 5%.
Yes. And this completely transforms vulnerability management from an overwhelming, compliance-driven checklist exercise into a manageable, truly risk-based operational strategy. It stops teams from wasting precious time and resources patching vulnerabilities that have, frankly, almost zero chance of being exploited in their environment, and allows them to focus laser-like on fixing the handful of things that pose an active, immediate risk to the mission.
That ability, focusing resources on the crucial less than 5%, that feels like the absolute key to actually accelerating mission delivery instead of just spinning wheels on compliance. But as you said, finding the risks is only half the battle.
Right.
Remediation, actually fixing them, is the critical final step. And that's where the spin cap really gets exposed. So this is where Qualys Patch Management comes in, addressing things like the CISA Known Exploited Vulnerabilities Catalog, or KV, from BOD 22-01, and the faster mitigation goals of EO 140-028.
Exactly. This is the execution arm that aims to close that five-day window we talked about. Qualys provides automated, often one-click, patch deployment capabilities for Windows, Linux, macOS, and, very importantly, hundreds of critical third-party applications, think browsers, Java, Adobe products, etc.
Right, the non-Microsoft stuff is often the hardest.
It often is, and this automation directly accelerates the meantime to remediate, or MTTR. We saw some pretty compelling quantifiable evidence of its scale in our research, too. Qualys agents deployed an astonishing 60 million patches across their customer environments in just the last 12 months.
60 million.
60 million. That kind of massive operational success really demonstrates the platform's reliability and scalability, which is absolutely essential for the federal enterprise environment.
But we know the reality. Particularly in the federal space, there's often significant friction between the security team, which is pushing for speed, patch now,
yes,
and the IT operations team, which prioritizes system availability above all else and is frankly terrified of deploying a patch that might break a critical, perhaps aging mission system like an old Exchange server or a critical database. This seems to be where the eliminate feature in Qualys offers a really interesting strategic competitive advantage.
Yeah, this is a brilliant operational feature, in my opinion, because it directly recognizes that human friction, that organizational tension, is often the primary blocker to patching speed, not the technology itself. The classic scenario is exactly what you described. An IT team delays deploying a critical patch for weeks, maybe months, because they fear it will destabilize an older, maybe unsupported, but still vital system. The eliminate feature basically provides a workaround. It allows the security team to apply temporary non-disruptive mitigations, things like changing a specific file permission that blocks a known exploit vector, disabling a particularly vulnerable service, modifying a registry key without deploying the full patch, which might require testing, downtime, reboots.
Okay, so you essentially neutralize the immediate risk exposure almost instantly, drastically lowering the mean time to remediate the risk, even if the vulnerability technically still exists.
Exactly.
And then you give the IT team the breathing room they need to properly test and schedule the full patch deployment according to their processes, without the security team screaming about imminent doom. It sounds like a very pragmatic solution to a complex, often bureaucratic problem.
It is. It provides immediate risk mitigation, satisfying FISMA SI2 flaw remediation goals in spirit without interrupting mission availability or causing that internal conflict. It's an ideal competitive takeout angle against legacy patch management solutions that really only offer a binary choice. Deploy the full patch now, or wait and accept the risk.
Okay, let's broaden the view now and talk about strategic differentiation. Federal agencies, as we know, are kind of notorious for buying security solutions point by point, vendor by vendor. This leads to what everyone calls tool sprawl, and consequently, massive data fragmentation. You've got asset management data here, vulnerability scan results there, cloud security posture over here, compliance checks in another spreadsheet. It's a mess.
A complete mess. Siloed data, siloed teams.
Right. And this seems to be where Qualys offers a really comprehensive competitive takeout strategy centered around this concept they call the Risk Operations Center, or ROC.
Yes, the ROC concept really defines Qualys's strategic positioning in the market. And I think it's crucial to define it first by contrasting it with the traditional SOC, the Security Operations Center. Most people are familiar with the SOC. That's typically seen as a wartime activity, right?
Yeah.
Focused on immediate threat detection, incident response, putting out fires. The Risk Operations Center, ROC, as Qualys positions it, is more of a peacetime activity. It's focused proactively on improving cyber hygiene, monitoring strategic risk signals across the entire environment, driving continuous improvement before the fires start.
Okay, peacetime versus wartime. I like that framing. But how does the ROC architecture practically solve that fragmentation problem, the tool sprawl that cripples speed and visibility?
So the competitive takeout angle here is clear. Traditional approaches, using multiple point solutions from different vendors, force agencies to try and manually glue together infrastructure risk data, application security risk data, cloud posture risk data, maybe even OT risk data from entirely separate tools and data silos. This makes meaningful cross-platform correlation nearly impossible, or at least incredibly slow and manual.
Right. You can't easily connect the dots.
You can't. The ROC, by contrast, is built on the idea of unifying all this data, GRC data, relevant SOC alert data, vulnerability management findings, configuration compliance data, cloud posture data onto a single integrated data plane within the Qualys platform.
Can you give us a practical example of how unifying those silos actually changes decision-making for, say, a CISO?
Sure. Think about a common scenario. A vulnerability scanner might flag a missing patch on a server. Okay, that's one data point. A separate cloud security tool might show that same server has a dangerously misconfigured security group in AWS. That's another data point. And maybe a third endpoint tool shows it's missing required EDR software.
Three separate alerts, probably going to three different teams.
Exactly. The ROC correlates all three of those data points in near real time. So now, a CISO can ask a much more strategic, contextual question like, show me all internet-facing assets designated as high impact that have a critical missing patch. And D, a non-compliant cloud security posture in AD are missing the required EDR agent. This gives them a much, much smaller, dramatically higher priority list of systems to remediate immediately, focusing on the convergence of risks.
That unification, that ability to correlate across domains, that leads directly to the kind of massive efficiency metrics we saw mentioned in the sources, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Our sources cited a really compelling real-world example where a Qualys ROC implementation ingested something like 62.5 million raw security findings from various sources.
Wow.
Yeah, a huge number. But after the platform automatically correlated them, applied that true risk threat intelligence we discussed, and allowed the agency to add their own business context, the number of truly actionable high-priority risks that required immediate attention was reduced down to only 4% of the original volume.
From 62.5 million down to 4% needing immediate focus.
Exactly. That level of automated correlation and ruthless prioritization delivers massive efficiency gains. It frees up security analysts, FTEs, budget that were previously just spent chasing phantom risks or low priority findings. This is really the difference between achieving operational excellence and just drowning in compliance chaos.
Okay, now let's talk acceleration. Because the ultimate goal of all this federal IT modernization isn't just better security, it's achieving mission velocity, getting capabilities deployed faster. And a huge part of that involves automating security earlier in the development lifecycle to achieve something called continuous authority to operate, or CATO.
Yes, Cato is essential, especially for meeting the software supply chain security mandates that came out of EO 1408. Solutions like Qualys's web application scanning, WS, and their container security CS module allow agencies to shift left with security. That means integrating deep security scanning before software gets deployed, embedding it directly into their CI/CD pipelines, their automated build and release processes.
So security intelligence gets generated right in the developer's workflow, ideally, rather than being thrown over the wall as a list of problems discovered only after deployment.
Precisely. Find and fix vulnerabilities early when it's cheaper and faster.
But the continuous part of Cato still requires ongoing compliance assurance, right? We need to loop back to that ATO bottleneck we discussed earlier, the manual documentation nightmare, and explain how Qualys policy compliance specifically addresses that, because that seems like competitive gold.
It absolutely is competitive gold. The Qualys Policy Compliance PC module is essentially the automated engine designed specifically to fix that ATO bottleneck. As we know, federal systems must adhere to extremely complex configuration baselines, most notably the DSA STIGs, Security Technical Implementation Guides for the DoD, and various NIST standards and benchmarks for almost everyone else. Manually checking compliance against these baselines involves hundreds, sometimes thousands, of specific control checks per system. It takes thousands of staff hours, generates massive reports.
It's the bane of existence for many security compliance teams.
Truly. So how does policy compliance automate this? It automates the evidence generation that the authorizing official needs to grant and maintain the ATO. Instead of security teams manually running scans, taking screenshots, filling out spreadsheets, and compiling massive Word documents to prove compliance with, say, NIST 853 controls like AC2 account management or CM6 configuration settings.
Okay.
The Qualys platform runs these continuous checks automatically in near real time directly against the defined baseline, like a DSA STIG. It instantly reports the audit-ready evidence, basically, a digital package showing exactly how each system is configured compared to the mandatory baseline. This allows the AO to make a near real-time data-driven decision about the system's compliance posture, rather than reviewing a six-month-old dusty stack of documents. That's what enables a true continuous ATO status. And that 98% time savings metric we found associated with automated compliance checks, that translates directly into pure mission velocity.
90% time savings on compliance checks. That fundamentally changes the game for deploying new capabilities. Okay, so to kind of bring all these pieces together, Qualys seems to be positioning itself not just as another tool that generates security data, but as something more central, the Zero Trust Intelligence Engine. What does that mean in practical terms?
Yeah, that's the ultimate strategic positioning, I think. We know that automation is absolutely required for Zero Trust to work at scale. You simply cannot have a human manually deciding every single network access request in a modern environment. But automation fundamentally demands trust. The central question for every ZT enforcement point. Think firewalls, network access control, NAC solutions, identity management systems, SaaS platforms. The question they constantly ask is, based on the real-time risk posture, do I trust this access request from this user on this device to access this resource?
Okay, and Qualys provides the intelligence to answer that question.
Correct. Qualys acts as the central nervous system, if you will, that continuously gathers, analyzes, and feeds that real-time asset inventory and risk data, the ground truth to those distributed enforcement points. It determines the trustworthiness, the security posture, the compliance status of every device, and by extension, user trying to access the network or data. So if the asset inventory, CSAM, is the source of truth about what exists, the broader Qualys platform acts as the intelligence engine that verifies the trust score of those assets in real time. This ensures that the enforcement tools downstream are making accurate, risk-informed decisions based on continuously monitored, up-to-the-minute data, not stale information from last week's scan.
Got it. It's the brain providing the context to the muscles to act. Okay, with the power and the unified nature of the platform established, we really need to shift our focus now entirely to strategic execution for Qualys itself. If we were advising their sales organization, based on our research, what specific federal agencies, departments, components, maybe even specific programs should they be prioritizing, and why? Let's maybe try and categorize these based on their most pressing pain points.
Okay, that makes sense. Priority one, almost always in federal security sales, has to be the defense and intelligence sectors, that DOD-IC. Their absolute focus on mission assurance translates into the most stringent security requirements and typically a near zero tolerance for known exploitable vulnerabilities. They need that unified ROC model we discussed to function flawlessly and provide complete situational awareness.
What are the specific technological capabilities or features that would be the biggest draws for specific DoD components? Thinking about, say, the U.S. Air Force, the Army, the Navy, especially those involved with programs like CTRMs, compliance tracking and reporting modules.
Well, number one, without a doubt, is the ability to perform instant automated assessment of DISA STIG compliance. For all DoD entities, adhering to STIGs is absolutely non-negotiable. They represent the highest bar for secure system configuration. So the ability of the Qualys Policy Compliance Module to instantly audit systems against the relevant STIGs and deliver that audit-ready evidence for inspectors or EOs is an immediate high-value proposition. It saves immense amounts of manual labor.
Okay, SIG automation is key for DoD. What else?
Secondly, while Qualys' existing FedRAMP High authorization is essential baseline credibility, the planned support Qualys has mentioned for DoD SRG IL-5 and potentially IL-6 environments, those are the impact levels for processing sensitive and classified data in the cloud. That's a massive potential draw, especially for the intelligence community and specific DoD components dealing with highly sensitive national security information. The ability to deploy the unified Qualys platform to scan, monitor, and assure compliance within these highly secure, air-gapped, or classified networks would be a key differentiator against competitors who can't operate at those levels.
Right. Extending that unified visibility into the classified space is huge. Okay, moving to the second major category, the Federal Civilian Executive Departments, FCEB. Their missions are different, often focused on protecting sensitive citizen data, like PII, PHI, securing a large and often remote workforce, think TIC 3.0 implications, and demonstrating accountability through public FISMA scorecards.
Exactly. So here, the strategic focus shifts slightly towards demonstrating broad enterprise-wide visibility and ensuring robust, auditable regulatory compliance for public trust and accountability. Agencies like the Department of Energy, DOE, become critical targets. Why? Because they manage a complex mix of critical infrastructure, legacy operational technology systems, highly sensitive national security secrets related to nuclear programs, and a large research component. They desperately need tools that can inventory all that tech debt, find the obsolete software and hardware, and help them meet those M2404 metrics around asset visibility and risk management.
Makes sense. DOE's in a complex case. Who else in FCEB?
Additionally, large agencies like the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, which itself includes CISA and is a major CDM program user already, and the Department of State, with their massive global footprint and significant telework populations, they really need centralized visibility and control that aligns with modern security architectures like TAC 3.0, trusted internet connections. Qualys needs to show how its platform supports secure remote access and enforces zero trust principles effectively, even when users and devices are operating far outside the traditional network perimeter.
Okay, so tailored approaches based on agency mission and pain points. Now, within those agencies, the sales team needs to focus on specific use cases that solve immediate high-priority problems, things that can accelerate adoption because they deliver quick wins. Based on the mandates and the platform capabilities, what are the top, say, three use cases they should prioritize pitching?
Good question. I'd say number one has to be DevSecOps integration. Leveraging WAS and container security, specifically positioning it as the enabler for Cato acceleration. Agencies are under intense pressure to modernize their application development and deployment processes. Qualys needs to show how integrating security scanning directly into CI/CD pipelines makes security an enabler of speed, not a blocker at the end.
Okay, DevSecOps for Cato. What's number two?
Number two should be OT/IoT security. Really focusing on those sensitive operational environments where availability is absolutely paramount and traditional scanning is often forbidden. They need to demonstrate clearly how their passive network sensors can discover, inventory, and monitor these previously unmanaged OT systems like the HVAC controllers, the industrial PLCs, the medical devices, and help apply zero trust principles like segmentation without ever risking mission downtime by actively probing them. Show, don't just tell, how you secure the insecurable.
Got it. Passive discovery for OT/IoT. And the third key use case.
Third, I'd focus squarely on tech debt remediation. This ties directly back to the OMB M2404 metrics we discussed. Position Qualys, CSAM, and VMDR as the essential tools agencies need to finally get a handle on their legacy systems, identify obsolete software and unsupported operating systems, understand the associated risks using TruRisk, and then build a strategic plan to either mitigate, upgrade, or retire that tech debt. This directly helps agencies improve their FISMA scores and shrink their overall attack surface immediately.
Those three make a lot of sense. DevSecOps Cascado, OT/IoT visibility, and tech debt cleanup. Now, deploying these kinds of comprehensive solutions across massive federal agencies, that requires partnership. You can't just sell direct everywhere. We need to talk about federal systems integrators, FSIs. This seems like the crucial lever for achieving market scale and executing competitive takeouts effectively.
The FSI strategy is arguably the most vital component for success at scale in the federal market. It's absolutely critical. Why? Because the big FSIs possess the necessary security clearances for personnel. They have the deep, long-standing agency relationships built over years or decades. And, maybe most importantly, they hold the prime spots on the large government-wide contract vehicles like GWCs and agency-specific IDIQs that are required to deploy technology broadly and efficiently.
Right. They own the rails the technology runs on, contractually speaking.
Pretty much. So Qualys must focus heavily on partnering strategically with those integrators who have massive active contracts centered on IT modernization, cybersecurity services, and cloud migration within their target agencies.
You highlighted CKCI International Research as a prime example of a target FSI. Why CKCI specifically, and how should Qualys aim to integrate into their existing big contract wins?
CSEI is a great example because they hold several absolutely massive relevant contracts right now. For instance, the $2.4 billion NSA-focused Fox contract for cybersecurity services, and even more significantly, perhaps, the $5.7 billion Air Force EITA, Enterprise IT as a Service Wave 1 contract.
$5.7 billion for Air Force IT.
Exactly. These contracts are explicitly about modernizing, managing, and securing huge swaths of DoD enterprise IT infrastructure. So the Qualys strategy here shouldn't just be thought of as selling to CICI as a customer. It needs to be about embedding the Qualys platform as the preferred, maybe even mandated, security visibility and compliance baseline within the services CICI delivers under those contracts.
So Qualys becomes part of the solution CICI provides to the Air Force.
Precisely. CICI delivers the managed enterprise services, the infrastructure, the people. But they need an automated, unified security platform like Qualys to actually meet the stringent zero trust, continuous monitoring, and STIG compliance requirements defined by the Air Force within that EITS contract. Qualys provides that necessary security intelligence layer, making CCI's job easier, more efficient, and provably compliant. It's a symbiotic relationship. Find the big modernization contracts, find the prime FSI, and become indispensable to their success.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, finally, let's drill down to the individual level. Within these agencies and FSIs, who are the critical personas, the job titles, the roles that the Qualys team must target and convince for a successful deep dive and adoption strategy. Let's maybe define the top three.
Right. You have to target the decision makers and key influencers who feel the most pain from the problems Qualys solves. First, absolutely, the CASOs, Chief Information Security Officers, and their deputies. They are the ones ultimately responsible for agency cyber risk. They're desperately seeking meaningful, risk-informed metrics like the Qualys True Risk Score to advise their agency leadership, to justify budgets, and to prove they are making strategic, data-driven security decisions, not just chasing compliance checklists for auditors.
Okay, CASOs looking for risk intelligence. Who's second?
Second, I'd target the authorizing officials, AOs, and their dedicated security assessment and authorization ANA teams. These are the gatekeepers who own the ATO process. They benefit most directly from capabilities that enable true CATO, the promise of dramatically reducing the manual workload for evidence gathering, getting near real-time compliance visibility via policy compliance, and achieving that 98% time saving on checks that directly addresses their biggest bottleneck and headache. Qualys enables them to allow the mission to go faster without sacrificing security rigor.
Makes sense. The AOs and their teams are key beneficiaries of the automation. And the third critical persona.
The third group would be the program managers, PMs, who are responsible for leading the major, often multi-year, agency-wide modernization initiatives. Think the PM for the Zero Trust Implementation Program, or the PM overseeing the agency's CDM deployment, or a large cloud migration effort. These PMs need quantifiable metrics to show progress. They need demonstrable speed to meet deadlines, and they desperately need a unified platform that reduces tool sprawl, simplifies vendor management, and makes compliance reporting easier. Qualys needs to show these PMs how the platform helps ensure their multi-million or multi-billion dollar programs actually succeed and deliver value.
CISOs, AOs, and program managers.
Got it.
Okay, so if we look back at this entire really comprehensive deep dive we've just done, the core competitive takeaways for Qualys seem crystal clear. It's about delivering a truly unified, highly automated platform built on that trusted FedRAMP High foundation.
Right. And critically, it provides the real-time risk intelligence driven by true risk that's absolutely necessary to actually operationalize zero trust effectively, not just talk about it.
It feels like it fundamentally changes the relationship between security compliance and actual mission delivery. It aims to turn those mandates, FISMA, FedRAMP, CDM, from being primarily a resource drain and a mission bottleneck,
into a high-speed capability, an enabler, that actually accelerates modernization effort.
Yeah.
That ability to use automation to ruthlessly prioritize the tiny percentage of risks that truly matter, and then instantly mitigate many of them using innovative features like eliminate before a patch is even ready, that feels like the necessary modern response to the slow, fragmented, manual status quo we started with.
Which leaves us, I think, with a final provocative thought for you, the listener, to consider. The conversation inside federal agencies and with their industry partners, it really must fundamentally shift. It has to move away from being primarily a tactical one about just patching individual vulnerabilities or checking compliance boxes.
Yeah, it needs to become a much more strategic conversation about mission velocity, operational resilience, and managing actual risk in near real time. We know manual processes are simply obsolete when you're facing machine speed attacks.
Our source is warned about those three terrifying S's of AI-driven attacks: the increasing speed, the massive scale, and the growing sophistication. If adversaries are automating reconnaissance, crafting large-scale targeted phishing campaigns, and weaponizing newly disclosed vulnerabilities within that 5.5-day window we discussed,
and continuing to rely on manual, document-intensive, slow security processes, is basically a guaranteed losing strategy. So the core question for you, the listener, is this. If a platform like Qualys can provide the ground truth intelligence you need, the power of real-time knowledge about your assets and their risks, are you truly leveraging that power to fix the critical few things that genuinely matter to your mission security and continuity? Or are you perhaps still stuck fighting yesterday's compliance war, manually chasing down thousands of vulnerabilities that pose no real exploitable risk in your specific environment? The future of federal cybersecurity clearly belongs to automation, integrated intelligence, trust, and speed.